We're still close to the Yard site, the Reshiva Zatzal. So I wanted to share something central about Reb Noach meant to me, what I saw in him. One point. My father-in-law, Sosevsky, once told me, a deep mahalach, a deep shot in Tanakh. He's talking about Shaul and Amalek. And he said that there are two things. In the Pesukim, you see there are two ideas. There's something called Dvar Hashem, and there's something called Kol Hashem. There's the Word of God, and there's the voice of God. Dvar Hashem, he said, means living every halacha, all the dikdukim, making sure everything I do is correct. Every kutza shuyud, the way Ben Taru should. Learning with Mishnah Berurah, checking out the poskim. That's the Dvar Hashem. In Mesilas Yesharim language, we would say it's utter nikius. So after having the Dvar Hashem, what could be missing? What could be lacking? What could be more than that? There's something called Kol Hashem, the voice of God. His voice, what He wants, the spirit of the law, where everything's headed. I'll show you a stark example of what I mean. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky once said, there's going to come a time, and he lamented of this time. I said the story over one time, they missed the point. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky lamented and said, there's going to be a time when a Shomer Halacha, when a Ben Torah is going to say that it's better for a secular person to marry a non-Jew than to, God forbid, marry a guy. It's better to marry a non-Jew. Sorry, let's start that over again. It's better to marry a non-Jew than to marry a Jew. That's another secular Jew. Why? Because at the end of the day, to marry a non-Jew is a lav. Lo tischaten bum. There's no nidus. But if you marry another secular Jew and you don't keep nidus, so then it's kares. And he said that that's how people are going to think. That's a perfect example of seeing the Dvar Hashem and the details of the halacha, the cheshbon makes sense. A lav, a lotase against the kares. So, of course, the lotase wins out, but you don't see the whole point. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was saying, Klal Yisrael is going to be destroyed. The Chassid Yaivitz, one of the early Rishon, the early Hasidim, said that in the Inquisition, the simple people stood up better to the unique challenges to the Inquisition than some of the Chachamim of the Am. And I understand that the same way. The Chachamim sometimes were in touch with the Dvar Hashem. They understood all the intricacies of the Halacha. But sometimes when you're in the Dvar Hashem in a certain way, you miss the Kol Hashem. What's the point? And the simple people with their simple message understood, this is a time for Mesiras Nefesh, this is a time to go out of Sof, etc. Agav, this idea of Kol Hashem and Mesilas Yesharim is the whole idea of Chassidus, of Osa Nachas Ruach Liotzro. The Chassid's whole life is living the Kol Hashem. I know what the Halachas are. I passed all that, and I keep all that. But what does Hashem really want? What does the real Hashem really want? And the whole Chassid's whole life is Lasos Nachas Ruach to Hashem, Tosa Nachas Ruach, to understand what the Rosh Hashanah wants and everything. And every halacha is just a springboard for more and more and more and more. So this is Kol Hashem Rabosai, and this is Dvar Hashem. And a person can't be a complete person unless he's into, of course, Dvar Hashem, the words, the halachas, the diktukim, making sure I make the right brachas, I know how to take three steps backwards and three steps forward. But you can be someone who misses on the Kol Hashem. What's the Rebbe Hashem want and everything? And to me, just to me, Rav Noach was one of the greatest examples in the last generations of someone who heard the Kol Hashem. What does Hashem want? Don't get lost in the details of things. What's He telling us? What's He speaking to us? That's what He was always talking about. What's Hashem speaking to us? Where is He speaking? We don't know His Dvar, but His Kol. He doesn't speak Chinese. Look at the Jewish people, Hashem's children. Of course He wants them back. What's the question? What's the Shaila? What are you going to do about it? So Rav Noach, I'm just speaking B'kitzer, to tie into the Yard site. Rav Noach was someone who always lived with the Kol Hashem, the deeper level of what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants in the Bria. And what? He didn't just hear the Kol Hashem, he acted on hearing the Kol Hashem. And from that hearing and then acting, we all see what unbelievable, amazing things he produced. I'd like to talk about another point. Also, I'm bothered by a Mishnah. kind of like struck me. So the Mishnah says in the first parak, famous Mishnah, Avis, who I omer, im ein ani li mili, if I'm not for myself, who will be for me? Shani lats me money, and when I'm only for myself, what am I? Okay, that I understand. Last part bothers me. Vim lo achshav, emasai. And if not now, when? Right? Very famous. Vim lo achshav, emasai. Songs. Vim lo achshav, emasai. Rosa, I have a tshuva. You know when? Vim lo achshav, later. Yeah? Vim lo achshav, later. What do you mean, Vim lo achshav, emasai? What's the rush? Seriously. What's the rush that the Mishnah's referring to? Vim lo achshav, emasai. What is the rush? Mahabaya. What are we all excited about? And in fact, I see when I looked into it a little bit, the Rishonim really deal with his questions. Because listen for a second. How does Rashi, we go through three Rishonim. V'im lo achshav emasai. So is Rashi. V'im lo achshav bizman shani chai. What's achshav? Not this second. We're not talking about this second. But if I am not fixed myself in this world, if I don't relate to this world as a place where I have to fix myself, achshav, this life, then emasai, in the next world, I won't be able to. Shekol mi shetarach be'erev Shabbos, yesh lo ma yochal b'Shabbos. I'm lo, mi shelo tarach, ma yochal. V'zehu, sheshaninu hatkin atzmecha b'proz dor, kidei shetikanes l'trachem. So according to Rashi, what's imo achshav emasai mean? If you don't fix yourself in this world, you're not going to be able to in the next world. But that's the achshav. That's the now. Now, 70, 80 years. The Rambam limits it a little bit. Perish Mishnayos. And he says, "Im lo ekna ata milus bimea bachrus." If I don't fix myself in my earlier years, and the aged among us can relate to this, matai ekno sum. Right, a person has to look at his early years in yeshiva, his early years in life, his time before you're married, as prime time to fix yourself. Because when you get older, it becomes all the harder. You're so used to the way you do things. You're so set in your practices, set in your habits. It's much harder to fix yourself. The way you are becomes very much a set part of who you are. The way you speak, the way you act, the way you think. It's very hard to change it then. So according to Rashi, what's the achshav? Your whole life. If you don't fix yourself in this life. According to the Rambam, what's the achshav? When you're younger. Rabbeinu Yonah already takes it a little bit more the way we maybe would have thought about it. I want to read that to you. Shalei yomer, yomani esok b'malachti, ulamachar epanev atakein atzmi. Today I'm busy. I got a job to do. Tomorrow I'll start working on myself. No, shemelo yipaneh. So you got to fix yourself today. So Rabbeinu Yonah says it's today. That day which you wasted, you'll never be able to fix it. Here's the line. Ki kol hayamim asher hu chai al hadama. All the days you live in this world. Chayav l'taken gufo lasok b'mitzvot. Every day you live, you have to work on yourself in a general way. L'taken gufo lasok b'mitzvot. Ve'im lo reshus levatem lachto afil l'shachas. So it's very interesting. Im lo achshav emasai. You see the Rishonim were bothered a little bit by what I was pointing out. What is the rush exactly? So Rashi says the rush is this world. And the Ram says the rush is a rush epic in your life. And Rabbeinu Yonah already brings it maybe closer how we would have understand the achshav is today. Now I remember hearing Rabosai, I think it was a Chiddush Erim, who goes in the Mahalach of the Rabbeinu Yonah, but a little further. Rabbeinu Yonah talks about every day is a day which is supposed to be dedicated to Avodas Hashem. But it's more than that. Every day has its own specific challenges and its own specific opportunities in Avodas Hashem, which the next day doesn't have. Right? Snow or not. How do I Ovid Hashem in a snow day? Right? How about when it's snowing inside? You know? Hashem wants us to be Ovid Him in our hard times, Ovid Him in our good times, in our triumphant times, in our falling times, right? In our group times, in our individual times. And every day, a person who thinks about his life recognizes that every day, within a day itself, has a lot of opportunities and different types of opportunities for Avodas Hashem. I have to be Ovid Him in the Beis Medrash. I have to Ovid Him when I like the lunch. I even have to be Ovid Him on a fish day. I don't want to get brutal here. Yeah? And every day has its opportunity. So therefore, in Lo Achshav Emasai, this opportunity of this moment, In Lo Achshav Emesai, when is he going to come back? This could be the day that Rav Moshe wants me to ovid him with fried fish, with that taste in my mouth. Too much oil. Rav Moshe, and it's like that in life. Derech Hashem's talks in Chelik Bey is a very interesting thing. You wonder sometimes. You see certain people, they have such difficult lives. You know, they're sick, and they're sick, and they're sick, and they say, what is it? Maza? What makes him different than somebody else? So Derech Hashem says that Rav Moshe wants certain neshamas to be ovid him from that side of life, from the side called sickness. And he wants other ones to be ovid him and reach shleimut, and reach completion from the side of well-being. And he wants some people to be poor, and some people to be rich. And we never know why this one has this lot and this one has that lot. That's beyond us. But the Mahalach HaKlali of the Bria is Hashem wants shleimus from all different types of people in all different types of ways. That's what Rabbeinu says in Derech Hashem. And in the person himself, this is my extension, also Hashem wants us in our rich days, in our poor days, in our happy days, in our sad days, in our rich moments and our sad moments. He wants all of that. Because he doesn't want us just being ovid him when we're in the base match, but now when we're outside when we're not inside. He wants our shlemus. They're both sides. A certain word comes up from the Rabbeinu Yonah, from the simple urge of the Mishnah for sure. Definitely the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Chidush Erim, which is one of, I believe, an exalted Eshetar word, which is urgency. Every institution, every Torah institution has a lexicon. And when you're in a certain institution, it's good to be attuned and think, what are the specific words that are here? What's around? You know? Certain places have certain words. They're all good words. One of the great words that Noach embodied and that Eshetar is built on is a word called urgency. Imo'ach Shav Emesai. And if you think about it, if we think about this Rabbeinu Yonah and we think about this Chidush Erim, it's urgent. The word is urgent. This Seder right now, this shmooze, how you're reacting and how I'm saying is urgent. There's a certain avodas Hashem that is mutal on me right now to give over an idea, and you're supposed to be listening a certain way. It's urgent. And you will actually be side. And if you don't get it this way, maybe I'm about to say something which is going to change your life. But if you spaced out, looked at your email, you missed it. You will actually be side. Mi yodeh. Right? But, you know, when we think about it, this is my chiddush a little bit. It's a scary word to us. Well, why does that word urgency bother us? Urgent, right? Anybody bothered by the word? It's a little annoying. Don't tell me it's urgent. You know what I mean? It's an uncomfortable word. Very uncomfortable word. Now, Rav Noach would just tell you, don't be an idiot. Don't be a loser. Right? Get over you being uncomfortable. So I'm a low-level guy. So I'm trying to think, how can we deal with this word urgency in a lower way, in a more practical way? So I was thinking like this. Every time something is urgent, it also means there's opportunity, right? How do I look at my day? People are struggling for meaning, right? But when I say that every day is urgent, the flip side, the backside of that is every day is meaningful. Because if it wouldn't be meaningful, there'd be nothing to be urgent. Well, what's urgent? It's urgent because there's something to be done. It's urgent because there's meaning here. It's urgent because there's something happening. Right? Most people just sit and watch TV all day. There's nothing urgent about it. Only thing urgent is the next episode, right? What's urgent? There's nothing urgent because there's no opportunity, because there's nothing going on. But when we reflect on our lives and think about it, and our avodas Hashem, and our days, and our hours, and our starim, and our months, and our years, and our time in yeshiva, and our time out of yeshiva, and we say, you know what? It's all urgent. That means it's all filled with opportunity. So that scary word, urgent, may become a little more user-friendly to us and we could deal with it and say, hey, yes, it's urgent, and that scares me. But together with that fear, it must mean that there's something very meaningful going on. And there are great, tremendous, awesome opportunities right here, every day. Right here in my life. I live a life filled with amazing opportunities. I'm on a vacation in Switzerland. And my brother told me went to Switzerland one time. He says, you know, you didn't want to miss a minute. You ran to the bus because you were seeing the greatest sights and you were there for 1 week. And if you missed it, you're never going to see the Matterhorn again. That was it. You don't get to Switzerland twice. At least if you're a yeshivish guy in Ramat Shlomo. But it's opportunity. So if we looked at our life like that, we'd be joyous. So together with the urgency, the scariness of the urgency, is the passion and the pleasure and the opportunity and the joy and the fun of
of the urgency. Now, Rabosai, this is generally, but to bring it in the Yesodus way, if we think about the matzav of Klal Yisrael today, we have to understand that, like it was when Reb Noach started, and even more so, the matzav is urgent. The situation is urgent. Klal Yisrael, we have to remember that and be mishanah to ourselves. Klal Yisrael is disappearing. Disappearing, God forbid. Intermarriage is rising. Assimilation is out of control. People don't feel Jewish, not about the state of Israel. The Jewish Association, we all know the figures, is going down. People are less and less Jewish than they used to be. We can't wait. We can't wait. And when we say that, it's scary, because it means the situation is urgent. And urgent is scary, and it should be. But, like I said, to make it a little more user-friendly for us, that also means the opportunities are amazing. We live in a time of amazing urgency for Klal Yisrael, but we live in a time also, together with that, of amazing opportunity. 50 years ago, Rabosai, a chashiv rav could get up to speak, someone who knew Shas, who knew Shulchan Aruch. Today, every time Dick and Harry has something to say, you get a blog out there, and people are reading it to you, and you're being mashpia, and even if you know so much, you can go on a college campus, you have to get the right preparation yeshiva, of course, etc. But the opportunity to be mashpia, to mekarev Shem Shemayim, to mekarev other peoples is there for all of us. It's an amazing opportunity. The urgency comes together with that amazing, amazing possibility. And I want to emphasize and bring out, Rabosa, which perhaps is the greatest opportunity facing us today. Perhaps. It's well known. Reb Berkowitz referred to it a little in his wonderful talk about Reb Noach on last Thursday, that I'm saying my way. Everybody knows the world of Kirim needs a facelift today. We don't really know how we're getting through to today's generation. We don't really know. The staff just met with a psychologist, Dr. Lieberman. I said, is there anything good about internet, like what it's producing, what it's doing to people, you know? Said, no, nothing. There's nothing good about it, right? So that's what he said. There's nothing good. You know, he said, there's nothing. The multitasking, no, doesn't help, makes you worse. People go slower and make more mistakes. There's nothing good about it. But yet, so we're living in a time where people are dominated by something which is nothing good about it, right? And no one knows really, on a clully way, how to get through. But that means the opportunity is there for each and every one of us to maybe make the next discovery. What an opportunity it is. How urgent it is that we give the world of Kirov the necessary facelift which it so deeply needs. But there's besides opportunities which are there for all of us Makar people every day. There's an opportunity to be the people who are going to make the next 48 ways, the next discovery. Imagine the schusim, imagine the reward and the merit if you be the one. And who's going to do it? Who knows how to speak to people? Who knows the right language? Something that every Makarv can borrow, use, copy, and make better. And no one really knows today what it is. So that opportunity is sitting there. It's urgently sitting there, but it's amazingly sitting there. The window of opportunity is open like never before. So Rabosai, let's just, still within the Shavua, Shechal, or after the Shavua, let's live. Let's remember those words. Imlo achshav emesai. Let's live a little bit with the word urgent. But let's remember that it's not just a word which is scary. It's a word which implies amazing potential. And let's remember that we have opportunities today like never before. Thank you very much.